Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is a show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver along with my cohort, my friend, my compatriot, Kyle Maurer. Hello, Mr. Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you this wonderful, beautiful day?
I am, I'm good, I think. I'm just doing a little body check scan, a little head to toe. Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I'm at my standing desk. I've been here for a few hours. I'm ready to take a break and sit after the show is recorded, but otherwise, I'm good.
Our audience doesn't get the privilege that I do of getting to see you while we have this discussion, but you just look fantastic today.
Well, thank you. And you're looking mighty dapper yourself.
Thanks so much.
So, latest in the world, this episode we wanted to mention maybe a little WordCamp US recap.
That's right. You and I both flew out to Philadelphia just about a week and a half ago as of the time of this recording.
Right.
And we had a great time at the second annual National WordCamp.
And any highlights or surprises that you want to share?
Yeah, actually there were a lot of highlights and a couple surprises from the event. So we did things a little bit differently than what we did in 2015, but a few highlights for me. One, I got to bring home this stuffed Wahpoo. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. A lot of people liked those. Actually, it was surprising that people were trying to buy and sell them afterwards, because there were a few people who wanted them so desperately, wanted to bring home multiple for their kids or something, that they were offering to buy other people's off them.
Well, what were they going for? Any idea what they were, like, the resale value on those? Because, I mean, I have a couple.
I've been at the market.
Because I have a couple.
It's valuable at this point. Okay. So those were the hot item. Other highlights for me were getting a chance to talk with some of the friends that I don't see very often. I had great conversations with people like Patrick Rowland and John James Jacoby and Josh Pollack and Corey Hammond and Ian Dunn and Pippin. Just people that I don't get to talk to as often as I'd like, and we just got to have a great time chatting together. Contributing on Contributor Day was a real highlight for me. I actually got to sit down, and like a year or two ago, I started a ticket on the WordPress meta track and never got it finished. I got it like 80% of the way there. And so on Contributor Day at WCUS this year, I managed to sit down, and with a little help from Ian Dunn getting me refreshed on the process, I finished it up and I submitted a patch.
Very cool. And
helped with some others. So contributing was really fun. And the Bluehost dinner that you and I went to, that was pretty much a big highlight for me. Had a great time and a fantastic steak. Other than that, the mannequin challenge at the Caldera Taco Party was pretty fun.
That was cool.
Walking around Philadelphia on a beautiful day with my wife, getting to see some sights, was pretty cool. And that after party at the museum was just a blast.
Awesome.
How about yourself?
I didn't like any of it. Really, really, really poor experience. Wasn't impressed by anything or anybody. Most of the conversations I had, really depressing on the bigger picture. No, I'm totally joking, people. No, I'm joking. You know, a couple highlights. You already mentioned Triple J. I was happy to kind of meet him truly in person. I briefly walked by him and said hello at WordCamp Dayton last year, but Triple J is pretty cool. Have a photo of him and I. The A2 house, A2 hosting sponsored the house where I got to stay for free. I really lucked out there, so that was a highlight that I got my own room. I wasn't in a bunk bed. And you guys, you were there, and you know Corey was there, and people said, well, Adam got it because, you know, he's the old man of the house, and I'm like, you know what, totally okay with that. So I know some people bounced out, went to hotels because it wasn't ideal. It happens. It was a I'm still grateful that I got a place to stay and I got my own bed, so that was a highlight, for a nice little highlight. And I was this close, you can't see me, I was this close to getting to introduce Matt Mullenweg at the State of the Word, and that could have happened, but I didn't want to push my luck. But I did get to talk to Matt a few times in the hallway after the fact, and he even said, it's like, hey, I thought you were going to come up, and I just didn't want to gamble and risk it with the other automaticians and stress people out. So that was, you know, that was, would have been fun, it would have been cool, but maybe next year in Nashville. So
I think you should do it. Okay. Next time, be a little more pushy.
Okay. So, hey, Kyle, guess what?
What is it, Adam?
It's question time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's what we're here for, to give people options. So I believe I'm asking the first question. Is that right? Yes, I am. Okay, let me go over here real quick. So here's this question from Paul. It's not truly 100% WordPress related, but it's business related. We won't give options here on WordPress and business and whatnot. But the question's basic is, where'd it go? Did I lose it? I didn't kind of lose it.
It's there. You just renamed it.
Oh, yeah. So someone got an opportunity to sell a domain. They own a domain. They've had it for years. And I don't see the whole... Oh, there it is. Someone contacted them through privacy domain services to be purchased. Thoughts on how to give it any valuation? That's from Paul.
Sure. I'm sure you have an opinion on this question as well. I would say that it's not something that I've got a lot of experience with. I've never sold a domain that I can remember. I can't remember much success with purchasing any premium domains through private sellers. So I've only have secondhand experience through friends who've done this. My understanding is that there are a couple rules to consider. One, like if the domain is something that's timely, that's something to consider. You know, if it's the name of a famous politician or something like that, and they're running right now, then it's at its peak in value. And that's something to really consider. You know that it will depreciate in value very, very quickly as soon as the person's no longer in all the headlines, some other business, something else that's breaking news or some brand new technology, something that's peaking in value, you might want to consider being a little more aggressive with selling it, price it high enough, but do try and sell it because it's going to go down in value quickly. So that's something to consider.
Okay.
Some other things you might think about are just, this is my personal opinion and just a projection for the future, but I tend to think that unique special domain names as a rule will generally depreciate in value gradually over time, especially like those special .coms that have been covetable for some years now. But I think every year that goes by, the acceptance of these many new TLDs, top level domains, will be greater. So those .coms will be a little bit less prestigious. And so 10, 15 years from now, people just won't care as much about .coms as we do right now.
But
so
I don't know.
There will be some appreciation.
I don't know, Kyle. I understand. I think, you know, we had that same thought 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know, and .com is still what people go to first. You know, even, you know, it's confusing when people do .co. People think there's a typo that it should be .com, and I get that. But, you know, I mean, my parent company is .net because the .com wasn't available. You're right. I mean, it's not required as it used to be, but I don't know. I still think people like the .com because of the original concept behind it. I mean,
I think they do now for sure, but we've only had 1 year of all these new TLDs, so it's still to see what impact they have on
true.
The market.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think my answer real quick, my option is on the domain value. There are some services out there that will help give some valuation. I checked recently because not too long ago I was actually hit up as well for a domain I own. Actually, it's adamsilver.com. I own that. I've had it for 18 years now, and it used to be where I had a portfolio when I was doing some comedy work, some acting. It was like my resume was there. Now it forwards to, I think, Kitchen Sink, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, I was curious. So I got some valuations between $1,500 to $30,000. So the offer that came in was pretty low. I don't have that much interest in selling it for less than, in my mind, a big number. But you never know. I mean, and I know that I'm going to use it again in the future for something down the line, probably next year and the year and a half from now. So I'm not really willing to sell it myself. It for me to pay the $13-14 a year, I can afford it. Unless someone really comes to me with an amazing offer, six figures. I mean, I'll think about it, of course. But you're giving up something. It's valuable to me. So, I don't have a solid number. But anyway, there are some services out there, so that should answer that question, I think, pretty well.
Yeah, it's important. And really, it comes down to the value to you. I mean, how much does it matter?
Right.
I mean, but the question of whether you're going to use it in the future is a big one. I tend to think that domains are like all the junk that's in your attic. You know, if you haven't used it yet, you probably won't ever, that kind of thing. We all have a portfolio of domains that one of these days we're going to get around to using.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just true. Consider it.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so moving on. I think this question you're asking to me. Yes. Next one.
Right. Okay. So we've got an anonymous question. So someone wrote into our email. They say, "Hey guys, being a freelancer / working from home can sometimes be a real drag. It's easy to get stuck in a rut and turn into a hobbit. I wonder if they meant hermit. Anyway, any advice for how to keep yourself energized and charged when you find yourself stuck and demotivated? Sincerely, Home Alone.
Okay, so dear Home Alone, I think if you want to be motivated, start reading Drupal or Joomla technical documentation right off the bat. That will motivate you to, maybe that's the wrong way. Maybe that is actually adding to your demotivation. So I could be completely wrong. It's 50-50, really. I think it's tough. So as far as turning into a hermit, my option here for you is exercise. I know how it is. You get stuck at home. You don't want to leave the house. You know, you just kind of get into this rut. For me personally, my personal thing for my own mental health is I have to exercise. So I run 3 to 4 days a week in the morning, 5 a.m., crack of dawn. I ran this morning. I was up at 4 a.m. I ran about 4:55 this morning. So I have to do that. Or you could always just take drugs. You have any options?
I've got all kinds of options.
Okay.
You know, and they may depend a little bit on whether the Home Alone actually did talking about turning into a hobbit.
or a hermit.
Or a hermit. I'm not sure. You know, if that's your experience, if you are turning into a hobbit back at home, you might have different problems than the rest of us who feel like hermits. But my first option would be to give up and change careers immediately. Because if you're having these bad days where you're losing motivation, it's an obvious sign that this career is not for you. Mm. If you're in the right career, every day will just be fuzzy and rainbows and you'll be making money. You'll be full of joy. You'll be excited to work constantly. So that's it. If you're not feeling that way, you're in the wrong career.
I did mention the drugs. So since you are now taking them, would you mind sharing with the audience? Where can they buy them from you? Do you have a WooCommerce shop for this?
All right. We've got other options besides that if it's not the one for you. Another option could be to just something that does kind of work for me is breaking up the monotony in different ways. Sometimes just working in different places, away from home and public places or in coworkers' homes or even just different rooms in the house. I just frequently change rooms. Sometimes I'm standing, sometimes I'm sitting, sometimes I'm laying on the patio in nice days, mixing it up. A new environment sometimes is a simple way to refresh you. Different working with different people all the time. So I have different colleagues in driving distance. So sometimes I'll work with them, invite them over, go to their house, and working on different things. I might say that this particular day is dedicated to a certain aspect of what I do. You know, so I podcast at some time, or I organize my WordCamp on one day, or I write code on another.
Yeah, you can do what's called things. You know, there's a gentleman out there who does a podcast, Mike Vardy. He does theme days. Mondays he may do writing, Tuesdays podcast, Wednesday billing. So he'll actually do a theme that day. Instead of just doing everything on every day, he'll just break it out that way, which I think is actually a really interesting idea. And I considered doing it myself. I just haven't. So,
yeah, it's really nice. Those kinds of things are pretty effective. Another thing that I find kind of motivates me, and it's worth noting that everybody is motivated by different things. A lot of people in my life just totally don't get the same rush from things that I do, but competition I find to be pretty effective. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you're feeling unproductive, just engage other people, your spouse or people in your household to just measure productivity or get things done, or your colleagues to mm-hmm. try and race to see who can get something done first, or just other friends. Adam and I have had competitions for different things in the past, and sometimes it just is that enough motivation to try and beat the other person
right.
that you find yourself enjoying the work a little bit more.
The gamification of what you do, you know. And real quick on that note, the word gamification, it is a thing. I mean, heck, that's how Fitbit got where it kind of went, and people tracking, and you know, even Apple and now the Apple Watch. And I used the word just a few days ago with my wife, Ellen says, gamification? I go, yeah, it's a thing. And she doesn't believe me for some reason. So I don't know.
It's absolutely. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love gamifying as many things as possible.
Right.
Probably my last option would be setting up some kind of reward system. So if you're the kind of person, you know, who likes to reward yourself and make feel good about completing a task, you could do, you know, simple things like people I know or like myself, you know, every time I finish a task, I have a beer. A whole beer for every task. That's a great reward system. So something like that might be worth considering.
Yeah, it's good. So, okay. I think we covered the bases there. I'm good with that one. All right, last question of the episode here. I'm going to ask you, hey guys, this came in via email. It's from a Miss Independent. Ooh, interesting. Swanky. I don't want to work for a big company or an agency, but I don't want to be weighed down by all the work it takes to drum up business to be a full-on business owner. Should I stick to bidding for stuff on freelancer sites? Should I find and partner with a larger company, but just not be an employee? How to maintain my independence and still pay the bills? Wow, that's a lot of questions. Okay, all right. So
this is really great, though. It touches on some good stuff.
It does. So kind of peel the onion there, if you would, Mr. Kyle.
I'm gonna take a crack at this. I'm gonna get my butcher's knife and tear this onion to pieces. So the first thing I would say is the best choice for you would be to do a little time traveling and geographic traveling to go back to Kent this summer, where Adam and I did a co-presentation and we talked about issues like this at length. That's really the only way you would ever get to see this presentation, because the video, well, it may or may not ever end up on the internet.
You have the footage. You can edit it yourself if you want it to be done faster. Just saying it out there. You own it too.
Okay. So some things to note when it comes to this choice between like self-employment or employment or some hybrid or something in between. Note that it's fuzzy a little bit, because there are good employers and bad employers, and they may overlap. You may have had bad experiences in the past. It kind of sounds like I'm getting the vibe that maybe there has been. But maybe you would feel completely differently if you had had good experiences in the past with employers. And you can also have bad partners. You can have bad clients. You can have good partners and good clients. So this is where it is a little bit fuzzy. Maybe you don't want to think too much about associating negative experiences with the entire path. So one other note that I take away from your question is it specifically states multiple things that you don't want. You don't want to work for a big company. You don't want to be weighed down by all the work it takes to drum up a business. What about what you actually do want? That can help steer an answer a little bit better. So reflect a little bit on the things that you do want instead of just the don'ts.
Yeah.
And that might guide you a little more effectively and also help people like us provide more clear answers.
Right.
It's easy to say the things that you don't want because you've had those striking negative experiences, which is my assumption.
Yeah.
Some of the options that I think are available to you. First, you state that you don't want a big company. You don't want to work for a big company or agency. What about a small one? Experiences are quite different at small companies. So I run a 4-person agency. We're pretty small and lean, and we're a very close team. And I love all the people that I work with, that I still feel very independent. So maybe consider working for a small company. There's a lot of great small agencies and product companies out there that could use your skills. Another option might be doing contract work for those agencies, where you're not really going out and bidding on the projects and finding them. Someone else is getting all that work and handling the billing for the client, and they're just sending you the work. So if your skills are marketable and useful to these agencies, PR firms, marketing agencies, ad agencies, designers, whatever your skill set is, you know, consider just doing contract work from them, so the work just comes to you and you remain independent.
Yeah, good options. I mean, I only had one thing to add to that is to partner up. You know, if you not to partner up with a larger company, but why not partner up with somebody else who what's the word I'm looking for, who really is good at something.
Compliments.
Thank you. Perfect word. So that's the word. So who compliments it? So if you are the designer, but you don't want to do the sales and the billing and the scope discovery, you know, you work with somebody else who does the business development, who's good at that, but not the best designer, or if you're the coder, et cetera. So maybe you partner up with two other people, create your own small little agency. You know, so you split it in the thirds, and that happens, and then people grow from there. But then you can still only, you don't have to take a hands-on role, but you could very well partner up with even one person who goes out and gets the business and does the bid, and you guys split it 50-50. And I think that's a viable option to start, because that's kind of like any other marriage, any other kind of relationship. You know, do what you're good at and compliment the other person. So That's my option for you, honestly. So Miss Independent. So there you go.
There you go.
Okay, I think that wraps up another episode of the Get Options podcast.
So if you have any further questions, we appreciate you sending them to us via email. Questions@getoptionspodcast.com is how you can reach us there. There's a SpeakPipe function on our website, getoptionspodcast.com, and you can use that to send us an audio recording. We accept anonymous questions if that's your thing. And we look forward to answering any questions that you have in a future episode. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.